Praise God. So it's so good to see everyone. Let's turn our Bibles over to the book of James. And this morning we're going to be talking about tested faith. What are we talking about?
Tested faith.
Tested faith. Amen. And would you stay standing for the as we read the word together? Praise God. So good to see the new faces, those who are visiting for the first time. So good to have you. And for our faith family, it is amazing to see everyone in the house of the Lord. Are we ready to read? James chapter 1, verses 2. And we're going to read together. My what? My what? My what? Say, my brethren. Right. Anybody ever call you brethren? Wagwan brethren?
Yeah?
Right? My brethren, or my brothers, my sisters, my family, my brethren. Count it what? Count it what? Count it all joy. Nice. When you fall into various trials. Oh my God. Imagine the Bible is telling us to count it joy when we find ourselves in adverse situations. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the something what? The testing of your faith. The testing of your faith. Look at somebody and say, the testing of your faith. Tell them your faith will be tested. Come on, tell them your faith will be tested. Tell them, look to somebody else. That partner was not good. Find somebody else and say, your faith will be tested. Find another person now. Say, your faith. Let's add something. Say, if it's good faith, it's going to get tested. Hallelujah. All right, let's read together again. Knowing that the what? Testing of your produces. We all love to produce. We all want to be productive. Like this week I ate and I produced some more pounds.
We don't want to produce that way.
The church got quiet. They're like, no, pastor, not that. But yeah, it produces patience. It produces patience. Mighty God. And look what it says. But let patience have its perfect work. Tell somebody, give the trial its time. Tell them, give the trial its time. It will produce. Tell them, it will produce. Hallelujah. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect. Hallelujah. We all tell our children, oh, you are perfect. You quote the scripture, you're perfect and wonderfully made. You look at your spouse, and your spouse wants to hear that he or she is the what? Perfect spouse. If you've been married for more than 15 years, you know that. Church cold this morning, but I'm going to preach in a second. I'm going to burn you up before you get out of here. With the word. Let patience have its perfect work. We don't want these scriptures. You want me to come up here and shout and hoop and holler and tell you all the nice fancy things. But this morning I'm here to tell you the Bible says what? Count it all joy. All joy. Hallelujah. Let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Father, we thank you this morning. We give you praise and we give you glory. We thank you for your word. We know your word is life. Your word is quick and it is powerful. Your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. Your word encourages, it builds up, it strengthens, it renews. And I pray, Holy Ghost, you will reveal to us what you want us to know today, that when we woke up, God, have finished listening to your word, faith will arise in our heart. Faith will increase. And we'll walk by faith and not by sight. This morning we give you all the praise and all the glory. We give you all the thanks for what you have done and what you're going to do. Let revelation power flow in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The Bible says here to consider. Consider means to think about. Take time and meditate. Take time and ponder. To consider a thing is to think about it over and over. Consider it what? Joy. Now, it's not saying consider it joy when you have lots of money, when things are going great the way you expect it to go, when you are living life and you're being promoted and you're going from one level to another. No, it says consider it joy. When it says joy, it means pure delight. Consider your trials as pure delight. None of us want to do that. As children of God, as sons and daughters of the King, as heirs and joint heirs with God, when we think about those scriptures, it is all nice and being comfy and pampered and elevated and glory to glory and faith to faith. But here the same God is writing to us and he's saying, count it joy when you go through various trials. Many trials. When you go through many difficulties. The word trials represents an evil experience. An evil experience. So when you are going through accusations, you must come to joy. When you go through people demeaning you, come to joy. When people are painting you with a dirty brush, come to joy. When people are backbiting against you, come to joy. When people are murmuring about you, come to joy. When people are saying you're not good enough, the Bible says here, consider it and count it joy. Find delight in every season of life. Because what? We know the promise. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for the good to those who what? Those who love God. Your trials does not mean God has departed from you. Too many times when we're going through rough patches, we get a weak thought. Where is God? Where are you, Lord? Didn't he promise? And he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, but I will be with you to the end of the world. Heaven and earth shall pass, but my word shall not return to me void. It shall accomplish what it was sent forth for. So come to joy. No matter what you're facing, no matter where you find yourself, no matter how hot it gets, I want to tell somebody this morning, pressure makes diamonds. Pressure makes diamonds. The world tells you that pressure busts pipe, but I'm here to tell you that pressure makes beauty out of you. He said in Isaiah 61, I will give you beauty for ashes. I will clone you with a royal, oh hallelujah. One translation says, I will give you a turban instead of ashes. A turban is considered beautiful. I will put beauty on your head. I will anoint your head with oil. My cup shall run over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. So even when adversity comes, promise still stands. I said when adversity comes, the word trials means adversity. When we hear about adversity, we all want to run and hide and cover. But the Bible says, they that know their God, they will be strong. You will know that your God is a deliverer. When Almighty God, the enemies were coming up against Israel, and his assistant came to him and said, Elisha, we're going down. We're going to die. Look at the armies. They are against us, and we're nothing compared to them. Elisha laid his hand on him, and he said, look, what do you see? He said, I don't see nothing. He laid his hand again on him, and what he did, he said, look again, what do you see? He didn't see nothing yet. He said, no, I don't see nothing, man of God. He prayed for him yet again, and he said, look, and when he looked, he saw the angels of God with flaming swords. I'm here to tell somebody this morning, God will do what he says he will do. You don't need to fear, you don't need to worry, you don't need to get timid. Do not be discouraged. Encourage yourself. Self in God. Come to joy. Your delight is not in the outcome of the situation. Your delight is in the one who turns evil for good. Too many times we only rejoice when good things happen. But the Bible said to rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The will of God is for me to rejoice. When we consider all things, we are to rejoice. Consider it what? Joy. When you fall, or when you find yourself, or when you are surrounded, when you are placed in fiery trials. We know about fiery trials. We heard of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those boys were actually looking at fire. We read about fiery trials, and oh, when our husband is against us, we call it fiery trials. Oh, when our kids are against us, we call it fiery trials. And that's nothing to a fiery furnace. But they were being persecuted. They were in an adverse situation where Nebuchadnezzar said to them, if you do not bow down, you're going into the furnace. They said, King, we love you, King. You're a nice man with nice clothes and a nice crown. But there is no way we're going to bow to your idols. Because the word of God says, I am the Lord thy God, and you shall have no other gods before me or other gods beside me. So no matter what music you play, what food, what banquet you put on, we are not bowing. Because the God that put us here, he is able to deliver. That is how we got to consider it. That is pure joy. Joy is not only meant when there's a party, oh, I'm joyful, oh, I'm happy. No, joy is a state of being. Joy is a state of being. It is what God and the joy is placed in us by the Spirit of God. Amen? So they said to him, King, we cannot bow. He said, I'm going to heat the furnace 7 times. I'm going to turn the fire up on you and the heat on you 7 times. And they said, King, even if you turn it up 7 times, the same God that put us here will deliver. And even if he does not, it is all right. Even if he does not choose, we got to come to a place to say, God, when you deliver, you're God. If you don't choose to deliver, you're still God. Yay, situations does not dictate who you are. When your faith is tested, church, it will be tested. So the boys, their faith was being tested by the fiery furnace in front of them and by the intimidation of the king. Sometimes we become so intimidated when we consider the consequences.
That is not how we are to live. The Bible says we ought to love the Lord thy God with all our hearts.
Meaning there is no place for deviation. There is no place to give up. There is no place to turn back. Because he who began the good work in us is faithful to complete it. Not now, not next year, not 10 years from now, but on the day of Christ. There is a day that is coming when it will all culminate and come to an end. I'm not talking about when you die, but I'm talking about when Jesus said it is over. When he's going to return and he's going to rapture his church. And then the deep seven years of great tribulation shall begin. And then, Almighty God, Jesus the Antichrist will come. Mighty God, and the plague shall be released. I'm going fast here in a lot, but I'm saying there is a day when Christ will come and defeat the enemy of death and defeat the enemy of sin. Oh God, and he will lose his grip and he will reign and he will rule in righteousness. But until then, we got to stand in joy. We got to stand in faith, knowing that he is able.
Don't live. You are eternal beings, man. If you got eternal life, put up your hand.
He that had the Son had life.
First John 5:9, 5:10, and 11.
He who has the Son has life. If you don't have the Son, you're already condemned. But what I'm telling you this morning, you got eternal life. God so loved the world.
That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall what?
Everlasting life. You see me here, I'm never going to die. You see me here, I am going nowhere. Even if the old man decays, what does Paul say? The inward man is being renewed day by day.
Remember who you are, church. You are seated in heavenly places with Christ.
So when trouble comes, remember your position. When trials come, remember your position. Remember who you are and whose you are.
So when, mighty God, these boys were at their workplace in front of Nebuchadnezzar. Because they were serving at the king's pleasure.
They came from Israel. They're now in bondage. And they were serving the king. And the king turned to them and said, Hey!
If you don't bow to this idol, you're going into the furnace.
Sometimes on your job, you will be presented with situations. You will be tried on your job.
When your boss is saying you need to do a little shadiness for the company's sake,
you got to say, no, I'm a child of God.
Your faith will be tested.
When they ask you to cook the books, Do not cook the books. You said, Mighty God, who will stand before God? Those who have a clean heart and a pure hand.
I got to get a clean hand, brother, and a pure heart.
I'm not cooking the books. Your faith will be tried.
So Nebuchadnezzar, he said, I'm putting you guys in the furnace. He said, okay, go ahead. Put us in.
The furnace was so hot that when they threw the men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, into the fire, even the men that threw them in were consumed,
and they were not in the fire. But I want to tell you that's the power,
the preserving power of God. That a thousand shall fall at your right,
10,000 on the other side, but it shall not come nigh your dwelling. He is able to deliver you.
So they put them in the fire.
And as the king looked, he said, Oh my God. I know I put three men in there. But I'm seeing four.
I want to tell you, when you're in fiery trials and your mind is stayed on God, the fourth man looks like the Son of God. Jesus himself, who is your advocate, he will show up on your behalf.
Do not fear the trials.
Often we live life with so much fear.
You fear even the people in your house. You fear your kids. You fear your husband. You fear your wife.
I'm not talking about honor. I'm talking about fear. The Bible says the fear of man is what?
A snare. It is but a trap.
It is waiting to consume you. Do not be afraid of their faces. Don't be afraid. So, fall needs to be surrounded. Trial speaks of adversity. It says, give the trial room. Let it work. Because in the process, God is preparing you for the destiny that he has for you. Trials come to make us strong. I'll say that again. Trials come to make us strong. How do we know that? It says here, let the trial have its work. Let patience, after it produces patience, let it have its perfect work, that you may become what? You might become what? Perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So you're going to face troubles. You're going to face trials. I want to tell you, trials are the breeding ground for miracles. Trials are the breeding ground for miracles. How can we find this? In the Bible, you see it all the time. When Joseph went down to Egypt, he got sold. He was a son, but the son got sold into slavery. Now, this wasn't a stranger. This was a son. How can good things, bad things rather, happen to a son? He was a son in his father's house. He was not a stranger or a servant who was now being sold out because they're tired of him. No, he was sold as a son to become a slave. Was he a man of God? Yes, he was. Because what? God spoke to him in dreams. So it showed and it reflected the condition of his heart that God could have spoken to him. He was open to God's agenda. But yet, the son is sold. The son gets sold. The son goes down to Egypt. He ends up in Potiphar's house. What happened? He is climbing the cycle. The cycle. He's moving up fast. He's moving fast, fast, fast. He escalated to second in command in Potiphar's house. But what happened? Fiery trial. Accusation arose. False accusation. Potiphar's wife laid her eyes on him, and he looked like a good Sunday dinner. And she wanted to have a peace. And he said, oh no, you ain't getting nothing. So what he did, the Bible said he ran. He was being tried. And what he did, he ran. He flee temptation. Too many of us play with temptations. We play around with temptation. But you know what? When you play with fire, what happens? You get burnt. But the Bible said he ran. And even though he ran, he did the right thing. Because the Bible says, flee the very appearance of evil. Right? He said, boy, there's trouble here. I'm out. He left. But what happened? Accusation rose up against him. Did he become discouraged? We don't see that in the text. We don't see him ever complain. We don't see him ever hit his head against a wall. We never see him question God. But what? He continued to move on. He was what? Patient. He was what? Patient. And what he did? He let patience work for him. Where did he go? To prison. The man went from being the second in command, living well, eating. Now, remember, he was sold as a slave. He was supposed to go be a servant in Israel, but he rose to second in command in a place of authority. But when God is about, whenever God promotes you, the devil is right there seeking to bring you down. But I got news for you. God says, I will turn evil around for good. What was meant for evil will be what? Turned around. And just like that. But you got to follow what God says. Count the joy. Let it produce patience in you. And let patience work.
Too often we don't want patience to work because patience speaks about waiting. We want it now. We want deliverance when? Now. You hear what the word of God says? After 400 years, the cry of Israel ran up to God. That's when they got out of bondage. 400 years they were crying for deliverance. 400 years. But we want everything now. Because we live where? In a microwave world. You go to the supermarket, you buy a frozen dinner, and in no time you go, spins around a couple of times, you're ready to eat. So what? In our mindset, we think life is like that. Young people who are in their 20s want to live like people in their 60s. When they worked from they were 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, they accumulated wealth, they accumulated their money, they built, they were disciplined, they were patient, and now they're living big and good. But you're in your 20s, and you're like, I want a big car, I want a big house, and this and that, and if you don't, you're going to commit suicide. Or you say, where is God? You're not willing to trust the process. You're not willing to be patient. When patience is the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus! I'm going to shout for you. Patience. What did he have? Patience. And we read the end of the story. God caused him to come into favor with men that were with him in the prison. When God is for you, even the prison can become a place of favor. So watch out your trials. Embrace the trials. And say, God, you are the God of the turnaround. And if my faith is tested, you said I'll become perfect. Meaning something is happening in the process that is making me what I need to be for the next season. When your faith is tested, do not lose hope. I said, when your faith is tested, do not lose hope. Your journey is not your journey. This is God's journey you're on. He who began the good work in you is faithful. He is faithful. You didn't start it. He started it. You're just going for the walk with him. I'm hand in hand with my master. All the way he leadeth me. Hallelujah! Walking with him, man! Let patience work. Patience doesn't mean you're sitting down. No, patience is the process. Hello? Patience is the process. They that wait on the Lord shall have renewed strength. It didn't say they that sit down, fold their hands and wait. No, the Bible said the sluggard gets nothing. The slothful gets nothing. The lazy man is hungry. He wouldn't even put the food to his mouth. The lazy man wants and he doesn't get. But they that wait. Those that are actively sitting at the feet of God, listening to his instructions. Those whose hearts are open to what he is saying. Those who have ears to hear are waiting on God. So, Joseph was in prison. What was he doing? Waiting on God. Patience was working. Tell somebody patience works. Tell somebody patience works. Tell somebody patience works. Tell him again, patience works. Put that on your Instagram. Bet you don't get no likes. Put that on Facebook. No likes. Put some shallow stuff. You're going to get lots of likes. But you go up and say patience works. And be like, I don't want that. But put up, God's going to give you a big house and a big car this year if you shout hallelujah 10 times. Everybody in the house shouting hallelujah. Romans 4. This is talking about Abraham after he received the promise. 19 says, and not being weak in faith. Anybody have a Bible?
Go there.
See the word.
Romans 4. Let's read together. I want us to read together so that we're going to get it good. It's on the screen. You can look up.
And not being weak in faith. So if you're not weak in faith, then you are what? Thank you. Not being weak in faith. He did not consider whose body? Whose body? The problem is we try to match ourselves up with everybody else. And we're considering how great you are, and I'm just nobody. Abraham did not worry about Sarah. No, Sarah was the barren one, but he had something that couldn't work. Because he was 100. If you want to know what is something, you see me after church, I'll tell you. But not weak in faith. Faith is divine persuasion. The word is pisces. Yes. Learn those words. Pisces. Learn the word of grace. Charis. Charis. Learn those words. You can then reflect on them in your mind. That words mean divine persuasion. He was not weak in being divinely persuaded that God was still able. No matter the condition of his body. Sometimes we receive a word from God, or you read, you're in the Bible, and you get a promise from the Lord, and you feel it jumps out towards you, but then you're living life and you say, man, I saw the promise, but it's not happening in my life. You know why? A lot of times, we consider situations more than God. We consider sickness more than God. We consider the doctor's report more than God says, by your stripes, we're healed. We consider our bank account. We consider how much money we have in the bank, and we forget that my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. We consider all the external things, but the Bible clearly tells us that we do not walk by what we see. We walk by faith and not by sight. Abraham, not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. Already dead. Oh, I jumped ahead. Since he was about what? 100 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not use that as an excuse. Too often, we use our situations and put it against promise. We take promise and we belittle promise to our situation. Now, Abraham was waiting 25 years for this promise. 25 years. He got at 75 and it took about 100 till it came to pass. 100. 25 years. Look at somebody and say, 25 years. 25 years! But we want it, and we want it now. And if I don't get it now, I'm going to throw a fit like a baby. I'm going to throw myself on the ground, and I'm going to act up. Your faith will be tested, church. When your faith is tested, let the trust God's process.
When your faith is tested, mama, trust God's process, Father. Trust God's process. He who began the good work in you is faithful.
Now, 20 says, he did not worry about his body, nor did he worry about Sarah's body. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. So sometimes we take our situations and we said, based on what is currently happening, what God promised has been nullified because of my weakness. You take your limitations and you cancel God's faithfulness. We take God, our limitations, and we void the God who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above you could ever ask, think, or imagine. We take him and we put him in a box because of exterior situation. Or maybe you're suffering in your mind and you are confused and you are broken and you're going through hardship and you're maybe mentally ill and you're saying, God, you can't do this based on my condition. You can't use me. I cannot be a blessing. I don't have no money for myself. But your word keeps telling me I'll be blessed and be a blessing. No!
But I'm here to tell you, church, when your faith says it, trust the process.
Trust the process. Let's go. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was what? Strengthened in faith. When your faith is tested, strengthen your faith. Hello? When your faith is tested, strengthen your faith, giving glory to God. What he did? The man went into worship. The man was a worshiper. Everywhere in Abraham's life, wherever he went, we saw patterns and he built altars. Go back to the book of Genesis. Every time he gets a promise, what he does? He builds an altar. Every time he gets a breakthrough, God moves him to a new place. The first thing he does is build an altar. When you worship first, it shows where your priority is. When you worship first, it shows where your confidence is. When you worship first, it shows that you know where your help comes from. When you worship first, it shows that you know promotion does not come from the east, the west, the north, or the south, but it comes from above. Giving glory to God because of where his faith was. And being fully confident that what he had promised, he was able to perform. So what you got to do when you go into the presence of God, when you must have a mindset and say, Lord, you said it. I don't understand it. I don't see it. I don't know what's going to happen. But I know that you're a God that does not lie. You're not a man that you should lie. And your word says you're not a child of a man or a son of man that you should repent. You do not go back. And we know the word of God says that the strength of Israel does not relent. Meaning what you begin, you are fully able to bring it to pass. And if you promises, you said you look over your word to perform it. So now I'm going to hold on to your word because your word has protection because your eyes are over your word. And if you said it, you will bring it to pass. Hold the promises of God like you hold a bar of gold. Hold it like you hold your married ring.
Some of you probably want to get rid of it. Just kidding.
Hold it like you hold a necklace that was passed down from generations to generation. Let me tell you a story. I know about that, how that hurts. My grandmother gave my dad a piece of jewelry.
And when my dad came to America, my mom, you know, moms like to please their daughters. My mom took it and melted it down and made something for my sister. My dad was furious. Because that thing was precious to him. That's how we got to hold the promises of God. And you know, my dad getting angry, he don't show no faith, he just not say anything. But you trust the process, you're going to get the outcome. Yes! Take the promises of God as treasure. Hold on to it. What it says, it said, take the word. When they were going into the Canaan, they were going into the promised land. He said, take the word, wear it around your neck as a necklace. Because what? It is God's promise to us. Trust God's word. Don't get weak in faith. Strengthen yourself and be fully convinced that he has promised. Sorry, what he had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore, he was what? Counted to him for righteousness. If you want to please God, strengthen yourself in faith. Believe what God says. Hold on to the promises of God for dear life. I want the church to take action. Do not become weak in faith, but be strengthened in faith. How do you strengthen in faith? Number one, you meditate on the promise. You meditate on the promise. Meaning, you're not forgetting the promise, but you're constantly reminding yourself what God says about you. Amen? Meditate means to go over and over and over and over. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Whose promise are you meditating on? Whose promise? Whose promise? So what's the first one? Say it again. Meditate on the promise. Two, spend time looking back at the goodness of God. You want to get strong? Have an attitude of gratitude. Being grateful for what God has done. Look back on his faithfulness. Look back how he brought me through. If I should ever give up, you know what I look back at? When I was 10 years old, I got hit by a car. I was dying in my father's hand. I went out of consciousness, came back in consciousness. Went out of consciousness, came back in consciousness. Went out in consciousness, came back in consciousness. Out, in, out. Blank for minutes. Or maybe more, because all I remember, it was a car ride for about an hour or something, and I barely remembered about 3-4 minutes. So that's to show how much I was out. When I got to the hospital, the doctor says to my dad, the nurse, you're trying to kill this boy. Because there was no blood in my body. No blood. Quickly, they gave me blood, like 3 packs of blood. The body just sucked them. Because I was depleted, so that's why I lost consciousness. I'm supposed to probably have brain damage and all kinds of things, but God is faithful. And mind you, I was in the hand of an anointed man, a man of faith, a mighty God. God preserves. So if I ever want to forget, all I do is look back. I look back. And I said, God, I was in that hospital for 2 months and I never moved. 2 months, never moved. When it was time to walk and they picked me up, everything was going wrong. I didn't know. I never had a shower for 2 months. They came and they sponged me down every day. They wiped me down. I don't think it's disgusting. Maybe it was, who knows? But look at me now. Yes. If I ever want to give up, I look back. I look back. And when my dad came and he said, 2 months is too much time. This boy has to go home. The same hands that took me to the doctor, he came to collect me. He says, we're checking you out of this hospital. When we were leaving, the nurse said, you take him home, you will bring him back to amputate his leg. I want to show the devil. The nurse said, take him home. And you will bring him back to amputate his leg. And many of you may have had the pleasure of seeing me in shorts. You know, I have a disfigured leg in many ways. You know, I went to the restaurant 2 days ago, and a little girl is here. She once asked me, she's just looking around, she's smiling, looking like wondering. So I look at her and I smile. To let her know it's okay to look. That's survival scars. Those are victory scars. That's the God of the breakthrough. Baal Perazim. When they said I would lose my leg, my daddy took me home. And they fasted and they prayed. And if you think I'm talking story, take her in a room and interrogate her. She was there all the way. Broke my legs 2 places. I have a steel rod from here to here. Broke my hand right here. Slipped on my shoulder. But God is faithful. God is faithful. So if I ever want to look back, I gaze on his beauty. I gaze on his faithfulness. If he did it before, he will do it again. So, look back on his faithfulness. 3, spend time in prayer. Spend time in prayer. The word of God says that we should pray always. Pray always. If I tell you, you know what that is equivalent to? Breathing. Don't you breathe all the time? So hence, prayer should be like breathing. But yet, when it comes to prayer, prayer is almost like fasting. We rarely fast, and so we also rarely pray. If we can't say eat and become, we sure eat all the time. Because I was going to say, we eat morning, evening, and afternoon, but we don't pray 3 times. And we snack during the day. We're eating chips and we're eating whatever goodies come around. But the Bible says we ought to pray. You know what happens when you pray? There is an exchange. We say things like, we quote this scripture, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When last you prayed? You know what that word strength means? To be infused. To be infused, meaning there is a deposit on the inside. Anyone ever seasoned turkey? You take the season and you inject it into the turkey. You're infusing the season inside of the turkey. Because the turkey got very thick and like, you know, if it don't dry and if you don't season it good, when you get the skin might taste nice, and that's what a lot of Christians are. Right on the surface is good. Looks very nice, well put together on a Sunday morning, Bible in hand, and you're walking to church, high heels, tuck. Where you going? I'm going to church. Hallelujah. But if they ever mash your toe, what's on the inside will come out. Then the holy viper comes out. I can do all things through Christ who infuses me. How are you able to do exploits? Because you are infused with the anointing for exploits. How are you able to cast out demons? It is because you are infused with the power to cast out demons. How are you able to pray for the sick and watch them recover? Because you are what? Infused. How are you able to have patience? Because you're infused with the Spirit. Mighty God, it says in John 15, abide in me and I in you, and you shall bring forth much fruit. So, if you want to strengthen your faith, number one, meditate on the promise. Read the word. Get the promise into your spirit. Or else your mind will waver and you will be in multiple places even though you're standing in one room. And you're being fearful of the future. And the Bible tells us that what? Men will lose heart because of fear, looking upon what is coming. But when you have promise, you meditate on it. You look back at the goodness of God. You spend time in prayer. I want to tell you, we all want direct deposit on a Friday morning, don't we? We love direct deposit. You know why? It comes direct.
That's why you like it.
It's convenient. You don't have to go pick up the check. You don't have to walk to the bank. And maybe while you're going to the check cash, you can lose the check. But with direct deposit, the money is securely in there. I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit wants to put a direct deposit in you, and he's looking for you to put it, but he can't find you. God wants to build your faith, but he can't find you. He wants to infuse you with power and authority and with fear, but he can't find you. I'm talking to the church this morning. Let us all stand. This is a season for us to make ourselves available to be strong in faith. And don't look at the trials around you. Don't look at the battles that you are facing. Don't focus on what the world is saying. Keep your focus on God. When your focus is on God, you will not waver. You will not toss to and fro. You will not be like a ship on the ocean going with the wave, but you will be strong, meaning you will be able to stand no matter what comes your way. Let's bow our heads. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your people today. We thank you, God, that they'll be strong in faith. Thank you that we're growing from faith to faith. We are growing from faith to faith. God, that we will trust you with all our hearts, with all our soul, with all our minds. We will find our rest in you. God, Abraham rested in your promise. He worshipped. Oh, God, when he remembered the promise, he brought glory to your name. Oh, God, because of what you said to him. And your word says, God, he was found to be righteous and right standing with you because he believed. And today, I thank you for your people, that faith will arise in their hearts. That the faith of God, Lord God, they will not walk by what they see, but they will walk by what you have said. In the name of Jesus, we give you all the glory. If you're here and you're saying, Pastor, I feel like my faith is tested. I want to pray with you this morning. I want you to come to the altar. You're saying, I'm feeling frustrated. I'm feeling like giving up. I don't know if I can make it. Or I'm having a hard time meditating on God's word. I have a mindset to give up. I don't want to look back at his goodness, but I tend to look back at negative things. I want to pray with you this morning. If you're having struggles with your prayer life, you're saying, Pastor, you said to pray, but I can't find time to pray.